I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Friday, February 27th. Overnight snow removal operations will continue in Quincy following this week's blizzard. Officials say crews will be removing snow piles from the city's business districts, and snow emergency parking regulations will remain in effect until further notice. Parking is banned on the posted main roadways and allowed on the odd-numbered side of side streets. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch says more than 50,000 tons of snow have been hauled away to date. Koch says 90 miles of sidewalks have also been cleared. In a posted message, the mayor says snow removal operations typically involve 6 or 7 crews with multiple large triaxles and trailers to haul snow every night to the Four River Shipyard and another property owned by Dan Quirk at no cost to the city. 190 pieces of equipment were deployed during the storm, with at least 2 pieces covering each of the roughly 40 routes around the city. The mayor says during the storm, Quincy experienced winds of 75 miles per hour, with gusts of 100 recorded in Squantum, and snowfall rates between 4 and 5 inches per hour during the peak of the storm. Quincy received a total of 21 inches of snow. Roughly 7% of the city lost power at some point during the storm. Koch says there is still work to do, but he feels good about the current conditions. Tens of thousands of people remain without power in Massachusetts days after the blizzard. That's down from hundreds of thousands at the peak of the storm. Eversource officials said yesterday they restored power to around 400,000. The company says it expects power to be fully restored by tonight. As of 1 o'clock this morning, just over 7,600 customers in Massachusetts remained out. At the peak of the storm, around 290,000 outages were being reported across Massachusetts. According to the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, crews have traveled from as far away as Detroit, Ohio, and Canada to assist in restoration efforts. The majority of those remaining without power are on Cape Cod, including in Barnstable, where officials have announced schools will be closed through the rest of the week. The goal is for students to return Monday after 2 weeks off from the storm and vacation week before that. A school in Hingham had to be evacuated yesterday after a section of the school's roof was demonstrating signs of structural stress due to the snow load. Happened at the Plymouth River School near the school's cafeteria. Hingham Public Schools said in a letter that roofing specialists were contracted earlier in the week and have been on site to support snow removal, and a structural engineer is coming in to assess. The students and staff were bused to Hingham High School, where they will continue their classes. Students who take the bus were transported from the high school to their usual stop. Hingham Public Schools said they'll be in touch with families about plans for walkers and the Kids in Action program. Hingham received about 18 inches of snow on Monday's storm. Students from the Plymouth River School will be taking classes at a different school today. 2 people found unresponsive from carbon monoxide exposure on a boat at Cape Cod last night. In Provincetown, happened about 6 p.m., police received a report of an unresponsive person on a boat at McMillan Pier. Police found the victim, as well as another person, also unresponsive on the vessel. Both victims were taken to Cape Cod Hospital for further evaluation. In total, 8 people, including first responders who were also exposed to the carbon monoxide, were taken to the hospital to be evaluated. Police declared the situation a mass casualty incident due to the number of patients, which exceeded the number of ambulances available. Ambulances from surrounding communities, including Truro, Wellfleet, and Eastham, were requested. There has been no update on the victim's condition or what caused the carbon monoxide leak. Nearly 7 years after a derailment caused extensive damage along the MBTA Red Line, the T is working on a project that should have been accomplished years ago. Starting tomorrow, Red Line riders will face a series of service adjustments over 2 months, including speed restrictions, frequency limits, and platform transfers. The project aims to modernize signals in an area just north of JFK UMass known as Columbia Junction. It's the place where the Ashmont and Braintree branches of the Red Line merge and where they connect to the Cabot Yard maintenance facility. A 2019 derailment damaged tracks and sent sparks flying as the impact tore apart several signal bungalows in that area. It was one of the pivotal and embarrassing incidents that led to federal officials demanding safety improvements from the T. Operations in that area have never fully recovered. Service impacts related to the project will begin tomorrow and are estimated to last 2 months, plus three-day weekends in May and June. While each area is under construction, human operators will manage the movement of trains. MBTA staff holding flags essentially replace the visual signals that normally guide the operators. T officials expect the work to be completed by June. Beginning tomorrow, for about 2 weeks, longer travel times on the Braintree branch, and trains will travel at reduced speeds. Reduced frequency of trains along the entire line is also part of the project. Showcase Cinema Deluxe in Randolph has announced that its last full day of screening will be this Sunday. The Randolph location is one of several Showcase cinemas in the New England area that have turned off their projectors in the past year. Phoenix Theaters is expected to move into the old Showcase location at Patriot Place in Foxborough this summer. The Showcase at Providence Place also changed hands to Apple Cinemas this past fall. Showcase Cinemas opened the Randolph location in 1998. 7 Showcase locations in Massachusetts are still up and running at Chestnut Hill, in Hanover, Dedham, Millbury, Lowell, North Attleboro, and Woburn. Well, the Massachusetts House passed energy affordability legislation that would result in over $9 billion in savings for utility ratepayers over the next 10 years. The bill makes a one-time funding reduction to the MassSave program, diverts environmental compliance payments from electricity suppliers back to residents, and positions Massachusetts to further diversify and modernize its energy grid. The bill would reduce the MassSave budget by $1 billion for immediate ratepayer savings, prioritizing cuts to the plan's marketing, advertising, and administrative budgets. MassSave is primarily funded by utility ratepayers through a mandatory charge on their gas and electric bills. The bill also tasks the Office of the Inspector General with a review of MassSave to ensure the program and its administrators are efficiently and effectively using ratepayer dollars. That report is due by July 1st, 2027. It also reduces net metering credit amounts, which are a significant surcharge on electric bills. Requires distribution companies and gas companies to provide discounted rates for low-income customers and eligible moderate-income customers, establishes an electric rates task force to advise and make recommendations on the current and future cost of electricity, with a report due by September of next year. The House bill also brings more energy onto the grid and protects the workforce during the transition to clean energy, and it removes barriers for nuclear energy by repealing rules which established requirements for voter approval and legislative certification of any new nuclear power plant or facility for the disposal or storage of low-level radioactive waste. The bill passed the House 128-27, and now goes to the Senate for consideration. Avian flu has been detected in a domestic flock of birds at a poultry farm in Massachusetts, and the birds have since been destroyed. State Department of Agriculture safely depopulated and disposed of a non-commercial backyard flock in Dukes County on Martha's Vineyard due to the detection of the highly pathogenic avian flu. The risk of humans contracting the avian flu from infected birds is very low, according to officials. Humans who are at most risk of becoming infected are people who have prolonged close contact with sick or dead birds. This is the second domestic flock in Massachusetts to test positive for avian flu this year. State officials are advising backyard and commercial poultry owners to practice strong biosecurity measures to prevent domestic poultry from having contact with wild birds, since the virus is continuing to circulate in the wild bird population. Eliminating standing water and preventing domestic birds from having access to ponds, streams, and wetlands that attract wild waterfowl is of critical importance. Both wild and domestic birds can get avian flu. Waterfowl and other aquatic birds are most at risk for infection, although any bird species should be considered susceptible. The birds may be infected with avian flu without showing any signs of illness. Raptors and wild mammals, especially those that scavenge on birds, such as foxes, can also become infected. State officials urge residents to protect their pets as well. Dogs should be leashed and kept away from areas where wild birds congregate or where dead waterfowl have been found. Cat owners in suspected areas should consider keeping their cats indoors. And farm cats should be discouraged from consuming their prey. Joined by two of Massachusetts' surviving Tuskegee Airmen, Governor Healey yesterday signed a proclamation designating an annual day celebrating them in the Commonwealth. Cheers erupted during the ceremonial signing at the State House as Healey declared every fourth Thursday in March will be Tuskegee Airmen Day in Massachusetts. The proclamation honors the legacy of the nation's first black military pilots and support personnel who overcame racism to serve with distinction in the U.S. Army Air Force during World War II. Among those standing beside the governor was retired 99-year-old Brigadier General Enoch Woodhouse, who served as a financial officer for the All-Black Combat Flying Unit. Woody, as he is known, was the guest speaker at this year's MLK Breakfast in Quincy. Massachusetts National Guard Adjutant General Major General Gary Keefe said the airmen's determination to serve their country despite systemic barriers remains a powerful example. As the ceremony concluded, Woodhouse shared lessons drawn from his experience during the early integration of the U.S. military, urging young people to make choices that position them for success. A check of business news. This morning, stocks are mixed. The Dow is up 17 points. The NASDAQ dropped 273, and the S&P fell 37. Shares were mixed in Asia after the worst day for NVIDIA's stock since last spring dragged U.S. stocks lower. The dollar fell, the euro rose, and oil at $65 a barrel. And sports, Bruins beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-2, and they'll take on the Flyers in Philly tomorrow at 3 p.m. Tonight, Celtics play the Nets at 7:30 in Boston. Today's forecast from the National Weather Service is for sunshine and a high of 40 degrees. For tonight, cloudy, low 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Tomorrow's high near 50 degrees. Sunday, could see some snow showers with a high of 35 and sunny and a high of 25 on Monday. But the boater waves about a foot, northwest winds at 5 knots, become southerly later this afternoon. The high tide at 8:10 p.m. Sunrise 6:22 sets at 5:31. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Friday, February 27th.